This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. I'm here with Sean Martin. In honor of Sean being here, we're gonna go deep on the Corn Ferry Tour. Get steep on some guys that maybe we don't usually talk about a lot. And yeah, how excited are you for this, Sean?
I'm excited. I'm sad that Chip's probably too busy talking college football to. He just left us for Dabo and Saban, and he's just dropped us like a bad habit.
Well, yesterday we taped one with me and him and Mark Immelman. And we went down the road of like comparing college football teams to PGA Tour players. And we only did like three or four, but the one that I had was Rory is Oklahoma. Which you
sure.
Can, yeah, you know.
Who was Cal Poly?
Probably Bob Streb,
the undefeated Cal Poly Mustangs.
Yeah. Yeah. who did they play? Like what does their football schedule look like?
I know they beat the University of San Diego in week one.
Okay.
And then they're traveling to Weber State, which if I'm not mistaken is the alma mater of Kurt Warner, I believe.
Is it? No, it's not. That's not true, is it? Kurt Warner's from like Indiana.
Are you going to make me Google this on live radio?
Yeah. Is it 7-man or is it 11-man football?
11-man, full pads, tackle. Oh, he went to Northern Iowa. Somebody went to Weber State.
Maybe. I was close with Harold Arsenault went to Weber State. Remember him? Harold the Show Arsenault? March Madness legend?
Sorry.
You don't remember Harold?
I'm not the best person for this. It's going down a bad path. People have already logged off. They're out.
Okay, so we're gonna do this thing. So this is brought to you by TD Ameritrade. We're gonna do stock up, stock down, and usually Chip and I do stock up, stock down for like a handful of guys. And there's a hook. It's like player of the year or going into a major or whatever. We're gonna do it for an entire list of people. We've got the top 50 here that made it to the Corn Ferry. We're not gonna go through all 50, but we are gonna go through. We're just gonna run through the top 25. We're gonna split it into two pods, bang it out. And just kind of talk about the guys that we want to talk about. And I'm curious, you have more of a knowledge of some of the background of a lot of these guys than I do. And I just kind of want to get a feel for like what's it like for these guys going to the PGA Tour? How successful can they be? We saw guys like Sung J.M. last year, who is probably going to end up being the Rookie of the Year. He came from the Corn Ferry Tour, had a ton of success there, had some success on the PGA Tour. So let's start at the top, and we don't have to talk about each guy, but we do need to give a stock up, stock down for each guy. So we're going to start with Scottie Scheffler. Stock up, stock down.
Stock up, man. I think I shouldn't be surprised, I guess, because so many of these guys are making the transition so quickly. But, you know, you're used to guys taking 3-4 years. I mean, it used to be if you got your tour card at like 27, like that was – you were probably ahead of the curve a little bit. You were in good shape. You were happy to be there. That's not the case anymore. I tweeted something on Monday when this was all wrapping up that there were 9 guys on the 2017 U.S. Walker Cup team who turned pro. 6 of those guys already have tour cards, and Scheffler's one of them. He had a great season, won twice, and he gets the big thing, too. He gets the fully exempt status for winning the overall points race for the whole season, and that's huge because you don't have to worry about reshuffle, so you get off to a bad start. You don't have to stress about not getting into events. You can pick your schedule for the most part, and then also you're getting into the Players' Championship, which is a nice little bonus there, too, as well. So I think the biggest thing for him is that he's got a lot less stress on him than a lot of these guys.
Speaking of the Walker Cup, how are you consuming the Walker Cup this week? How are you not there?
Probably mostly. I've never covered a Walker Cup.
What?
But anyways, I know, right?
How's that possible?
I don't know. It just always fell through the cracks. Always a lot of people wanted to go, I guess. And I've never been to one. I want to go. You know, the next two in America are at Seminole, which is driving distance, and then Cypress Point, near and dear to my heart. So I'm hoping to go to the next two domestic ones. We'll see. Mostly Twitter, I think. It's just a hard one to cover or hard one to follow this week. I think it's like an hour highlight show in the late evenings.
Yeah.
So a lot of Twitter.
Yeah. It should be, I don't know. I'm not super deep into it, but I don't know. Sometimes stuff like that is more fun to look back on than it is in the moment, because some of the guys you're like, wait a second. I mean, like, do we know how good this guy's going to be? Like, what's this going to look like in 5 years? And I think it's like, what was it? Was it the 07 team with Fowler and DJ and Webb and all those? Was that the team that was just so loaded? Horschel?
Yeah. I think same thing with college golf. You don't really, when you're talking about best teams ever, you're not really talking about the teams that had the best seasons. It's the teams that ended up having the most tour players.
Yeah.
So like the 2017 Oklahoma State team is going to be looked upon probably very fondly after they all, like four of them went on tour this year. I definitely think that 07 team was really special. Dustin Johnson, Webb Simpson, Ricky Fowler, Billy Horschel.
That's when Horschel
more guys.
That's when Horschel and Rory got into it.
Yeah, and then Horschel and Ricky were like partners. Ricky had the crazy long hair. Horschel was like picking him up when they were celebrating. I mean, that's when Ricky had like Bieber flow or something. It was like down to his shoulders. It was a different Ricky. He wasn't even in college yet. He was an incoming freshman.
Was he really?
To college. Yeah.
Because he turned pro after sophomore year, and that was in when was that?
'09.
Spring of 2009.
He played in that 2009 Walker Cup, and then he almost won. Oh gosh, it was that playoff, man. We're getting way off topic, but 2009, Jamie Lovemark and Ricky Fowler both turned pro that year. They were the like can't miss kids. Lovemark won the 2007 NCAAs. He was on that 2007 Walker Cup team, absolute stud. Almost won a Corn Ferry event. Ricky Fowler was Ricky Fowler. And they got into a three-man playoff at what's now the Safeway Open,
yeah,
with Troy Madison. And you're talking about like two kids who are making like their fifth professional start. You know, you win, you get the two-year exemption, you're set. You don't have to worry about like questions about when he's going to win. And of course, and just nothing against Troy Madison. He had a very good career. He was a NCAA champion, won several times on tour. But I think a lot of people were polling for either Lovemark. I mean, Lovemark still hasn't won on tour.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
10 years later.
Well, and that's the deal with like when we talk about Wolf and Morikawa winning, you're like, oh yeah, of course. But like, I mean, it's not of course. Like we saw that. I mean, with not a ton of guys, but some guys, and Lovemark maybe being the poster boy for it. We are way off topic. I'm stuck up with Scottie Scheffler. I think he's great.
It was his first full season as a professional, and he was the best player on the tour he played.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's like the when was JT on the Corn Ferry? Was that 13, 12, 14?
2014. And Scheffler, I mean, Scheffler won a U.S. Junior in Dallas. He played pretty well at a Byron Nelson while he was in high school. So there's kind of some Spieth comparisons. I don't think he's the next Spieth per se, but I mean, he's got the resume of a U.S. Junior champion, made a cut on tour in high school, played in a Walker Cup. So, I mean, it's basically the all everything resume.
Yeah, it feels like he always plays well at USGA events as well. So I'm stuck up on Scottie Scheffler. We're on pace to finish this at about midnight, by the way. We'll get after it a little bit. Xinjun Zhang finished second. Got to be honest, not a ton of background here for me on Xinjun Zhang.
He played one season on tour, got through the Corn Ferry. I want to say he finished. It was bad. I think he might. I'm actually going to look it up right now. I think his other claim to fame, while I look this up, is that he played with Marty Dow in the Zurich.
Yeah.
And they shot a first round 60 in best ball. I think they were leading, and then shot I think 80 to miss the cut. So I'm gonna go. I don't know. I guess stock up. I don't know how you go down if you finish second.
Yeah.
Finished 167th in the corn or in the FedEx Cup in his one season. He had one top 10. And just for all those fact checkers out there, it was 60-80 that they went to the Zurich. So
all those.
I don't know. You can't stock down a guy for finishing second on the money list, but I'm not going to tell people to go pick him with an early pick in their fantasy golf drafts if they have a fantasy golf draft.
Do you please don't. Do you value the season-long deal on the Korn Ferry more, or do you value the finals, the three-tournament kind of finale? It's the season,
I love,
right?
I love the finals because it's like a chance at redemption. Like, you, as long as you get in those top 75, like, you have a chance with one good finish to get your tour card. That was what was so painful about Ed Lohr lipping out a 15-footer on the last hole of the regular season. And if he made it, he would have been in the Korn Ferry Finals. Because, like, yeah, at the end of the day, when people look back, they don't care if you finish 74th or 78th on the money list. But the big deal is that in those 3 weeks, you can, you know, totally change your season. So definitely the regular season's a better measure of a player. It's a bigger sample size. But the finals are cool just because – and it's cool to see kind of that – tour players, like the bottom of the FedEx Cup tour players versus the top of the web.com or Korn Ferry, money list, and how they kind of compare. And I feel like this year, really, if I'm honest, a lot of the guys from who were coming down from the tour had a lot of success and seemed to kind of steal the show, it seemed like, at the finals.
You've already made like 7 OSU references and we're like 9 minutes into this, so
playing to my crowd.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, number 3, Matthew Neesmith. What stock up, stock down?
Stock up. Same thing. I mean, kind of an all everything. He was like an AJGA player when he was in high school. Good career at South Carolina. I think first team All American. This is the thing of like it took him 3 years to get out here, or to get onto the PGA Tour, which back in the day like wasn't that big a deal. Got your tour card at 25, you were ahead of the curve, and now it's like, man, where has he been? And he's, but he's 25, he's gonna be a rookie on the PGA Tour. I gotta be honest, there's gonna be a lot of stock ups coming. I'm not gonna stock down someone finishing fifth, but all right, anyway.
Well, I guess part of this is like, is it stock up, stock down for like how much success they're gonna have? I mean, obviously it's stock up, like they're going to the PGA Tour, but like, sure. What about having success out there, right? Like that. I think that plays into it for me. Of like, okay, well, Zinjun Zhang finishes 167th. Like, are we sure he's stock up? Like, his personal stock is up, but like, what about his performance on the PGA Tour next year?
Yeah, I think people need to keep in mind. Doug Ferguson, the AP, did a great column on it. Is that 60% of these guys are not going to keep their card. You know, so we're off the high. I think it was a very sobering because we're off of the Korn Ferry Finals and, you know, guys are making 8-footers that are changing their lives. And you're like, oh, he's so clutch. Look at him. How can he, you know, he's going to roll right out there. He was an All-American. He was, you know, won twice in the Korn Ferry. He's ready to get out there. It's about time. You know, he deserves to be out there over some 45-year-old journeyman that, you know, they need to kick off the tour. And it's like, in reality, like, yeah, some of these guys are going to win. At least one of these guys, probably named Victor Hovland, are going to make the Tour Championship. There's going to be guys who are future stars, but the reality is, like, more than half of these guys are going to be back here next year.
I was offended that they even made Hovland play the finals.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not actually going down that road, and I'm mostly kidding, but it was like I remember last year somebody, I think this was on No Laying Up, somebody said like, look, Peter Yuen's going to the at the time, the web.com finals, so there's 24 spots available. And that was somebody said the same thing about Hovland, and it turned out to be true.
I think so with even like Neesmith, like great resume, but honestly, he won in the finals. That's what got him there. And you know what? Like, you beat a field of some PGA Tour players, it's probably a field that's comparable to some of the like opposite field events, maybe like Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic. You got hot at the right time, but I mean he entered the finals 48th in the points list. He had not finished better than sixth. He only had two top tens in the regular season, so it's like, or three top tens in the regular season. It's like, yeah, he had an okay year on the Korn Ferry, and it was one good week that vaulted him in there. Guys who win on the Korn Ferry finals usually end up having good PGA Tour seasons, but I mean, pro golf is weird. It's better to have 3 amazing weeks than like 10 good weeks. But I don't know. I mean, that's just a guy where it was one hot week, and that overshadows kind of a year that otherwise was good but not great.
Yeah. Okay, Robbie Shelton, Roll Tide, number four, stock up, stock down on Robbie.
I think Robbie has the pedigree. I mean, I guess it was same thing with Neesmith. I think he turned pro 3 years ago, and you're like, where was he? But he's kind of been all everything forever. I'm bullish. I haven't seen him play too much, but I think I think that he's got that pedigree they're looking for.
Tom Lewis, I like Robbie Shelton, by the way. I think that, and maybe I'm just, was he on that was he on the JT title team that beat Oklahoma State in 13, 12? When was that?
I think so. I think he was a freshman. I think he only stayed 2 years.
Because they had, who else was on that team? They had,
Trey Mullinax.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. That team was sick.
Well, and then you had, I think they came in before Shelton. You had Bobby Wyatt and Corey Whitsitt, who were two of the, like, I mean, they were amazing in college. And
wasn't, they played. Which one of those guys was the one that almost won Zurich a few years ago?
Bobby Wyatt. He shot 57 when he was in high school.
Is that good?
In like a real, in the state junior, like a real tournament.
It was like, I think in that Zurich, it was like him and like Love Mark, and neither of them ended up winning, but they were like in a, I don't know.
Brian Stewart.
There you go. Okay.
He's wearing an undershirt. I never understand why people wear undershirts under like moisture wicking shirts.
It's crazy.
Kind of defeat the purpose. Tiger did it, so shouldn't talk
to him. Still, it's I could go on a whole thing on that. Like, what are we doing? Tom Lewis, number five. He won the last event. He's a Englishman.
One and done. Rolls in. Doesn't play an event all season or ever in his career. Rolls in, wins the thing. Some Euros were chirping, bringing up a very old controversy from like 2006 when some were claiming that the Corn Ferry was the second best tour in the world, and of course the Europeans got offended. And I saw some people bringing that up, which was really, I mean, it was like 13 years ago, but I mean, heck, the guy rolls in and wins. Super interesting career. Like, shot 65 in the first round of the 2011 Open Championship, was leading as an amateur. Then he turned pro, like, I think the next week, and won 3 weeks later. And
didn't he win the British Amateur in, like, before, like, isn't that how he got in the Open in 11?
I think he qualified. I don't know. Fun fact, I interviewed him when he was an amateur in Argentina. Anyways, but
that was the whole story.
It was interesting. So basically, he turned pro out of high school. He's like, yeah, I'm dyslexic. I don't like school, so I'm just going to turn pro, which I appreciated the honesty.
Wow.
Yeah. But he grew up in the same town as Nick Faldo, so of course he's getting compared to Nick Faldo. I think his dad played pro golf against Faldo for a while because they were from the same area. But anyways, went into a huge slump, was like outside the top 800 in the world, and then won earlier this year in Portugal, and then just rolled through Newburg, Indiana, and just decimated the place.
Well, and it's weird because you go from this weird European tour travel life, and now all of a sudden you're like on the PGA Tour, and it's just, it's so different. Like, I can't imagine, like, and we've talked about this a lot with like Koepka and Uline and everything, but I can't imagine like how just weird that is to, like, and I don't know what his schedule is going to look like next year, but that's got to be like difficult to like figure out the scheduling and how it all works and find your rhythm a year after you've been, you know, kind of traipsing all over Europe and Asia and Australia and everywhere else.
Well, he was on the Challenge Tour last year. I was wrong. He won last year. He was on the Challenge Tour last year, won an event there, and then won
even more so. That's an even weirder travel schedule.
So you have a guy who this time last year was like, or almost a year ago was like 400th in the world, and is just shooting up the world rankings. He's 63rd right now. So I would go maybe a little stock down though. Like,
yeah,
just A, he's got the difficulty of balancing the two schedules. Like, he's going to want to play in Europe and on the PGA Tour.
Right.
But then also you have a guy who, I mean, he was in the weeds, in the darkness with his golf game for a very long time. And so it'll be interesting to see if it's sustainable or if just maybe riding a little bit of a hot streak and how he adjusts to America, like you said.
Okay. We're going to get to a few more of these after the break, and then we'll hit the rest of them, starting off the top with Victor Hovland in part two. But we'll come back with a few more after the break.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Sean, next up we got Harry Higgs. Give me stock up, stock down on Harry Higgs.
He's a great interview. His Friday, or the shotgun start with Harry Higgs was a great episode. Just very gregarious character.
That's who they talked to about Spieth, right?
He played at SMU with Bryson.
But didn't he have a Spieth story or something?
Maybe. He's from Dallas. Okay. I don't really honestly know much about him except he went to SMU. He was a good player, not a great, you know, world beater by any means. I'm pretty sure he played in Latino America. I think that's where a lot of his good stories were, Latino America. But I think this is a guy who might be back on the Corn Ferry and he might bounce back and forth for a little bit. I don't know if he's going to come out and light the world on fire.
Yeah, he's another who, let's see. Well, he finished fourth on the Corn. We need to go back and look at, like, I'd like to see top five on the Corn Ferry from, like, previous years to see just, like, what their – I know that Sung J.M. won it last year in the regular season, but, like, what's the top five look like from, like, 2015, you know? And, like, what was the trajectory for those guys? Are they on the PGA Tour? Are they out of golf? Like, what's – you know, how does that look? I think that would be a really interesting – kind of path to go down. Okay, next up, go ahead.
If you hadn't just had another kid and I hadn't just evacuated for a hurricane, we probably could have done that before we got on this podcast.
Sure. Yeah. I'm just if we seem unprepared, it's because we are. I have to count my kids these days, like as we're leaving, to make sure I have them all. My kids could be a college golf team. We would qualify four or five. So yeah. We're making it happen, though. Next up, my guy, number seven, Brandon Hagee.
Your guy? Why is he your guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw him play at the 15 U.S. Open at Chambers Bay, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing off the tee. He was hitting his three irons off the tee, but it looked like a driver. I mean, his length is it's a joke. Like He's so long, and
he has super lag.
Yeah, it's astonishing. I mean, it makes Finau look.
He's also a fellow Westlake High School alumnus, just like your boy Matthew Wolf. They just breed just big hitters out there in Westlake, California. Except for me, who also is from there. But.
Except for me.
I play a control game, but I think Hagee, the big thing. I mean, he's got the distance. He played with Homa in college and Michael Kim. I think learning to rein it in a little bit would definitely be helpful.
I think he's
hurt by the occasional foul ball, I believe.
Yeah, and he's a guy who just, like, I don't know. You get out there. He got his card, what, 2 years ago? And it's like, oh, this guy's going to – and he's probably saying to himself, like, yeah, I hit it forever. It's going to work. It's going to be awesome. And then you get out there and you're like, oh, there's a lot of nuance to this. And – I just think that I think the learning curve for somebody like him, it's steep, but it's also like once you figure it out, you can be pretty good because you are so long. So
yeah, Brandon played 13 of he played 13 events on the PGA Tour this season on a medical extension because of a wrist injury. He missed 12 cuts and finished 66th in the other.
That's not good.
No, but got through the finals, and so obviously feeling good about his game. Yeah. But it is it is a transition.
Number eight, I don't know how to say this guy's first name. Is it Lanto Griffin?
Yeah, the pride of Virginia Commonwealth.
Okay, give me him and Shaka Smart.
Yep. He played one season on the PGA Tour previously, finished 171st in the FedEx Cup. He had one top 25.
Okay.
So not promising. Second time usually promises to be better, but thing of like what you see a lot of these guys like, and I what I was saying with like Harry Higgs of like, you know what, that first season you might get your teeth kicked in, but it's such an adjustment that so many guys make it look easy, but it's not that easy, and a lot of these guys need to bounce back.
Yeah. Okay, next up we've got Cramer Hickok, who to this point in his career is best known for sharing a house with Jordan Spieth. Is that fair, unfair?
No, I mean, I think that's very fair. Also, for caddying for Spieth at the Byron Nelson in high school, he played on the tour.
So Spieth played in the Byron Nelson when I first moved to Dallas in, like, I think it was in 2010 or 11 when he was 16. And I had heard about it on the radio, and I was like, well, why are they letting a 16-year-old play in the Byron Nelson? Like, this is before I covered golf. This is before, like, I didn't know anything. You were probably already like writing his Hall of Fame speech, and I'm just like, I don't even know who, you know, any of these guys are. And
I came in the day I flew in for the final round of the 2011, and then we did a photo because he graduated high school. He played the final round with Keegan Bradley. Keegan won that day. Spieth had a like graduation celebration that evening, and then we did a photo shoot the next day for Golf Week, and I just remember him being like 17 years old, and like he was just like bunting drivers, like trying to roll balls to ducks, and like he fell asleep on a bench while we were trying to set up lights because he'd had a long. He just played a PGA Tour event. He was super polite, like it was super fun, but it's just funny seeing a kid like that, like 17 years old and doing 17-year-old things, and then now being like a 3-time major winner, number one in the world, and having like 100 million times more dollars than I do.
It's a good estimate right there. Cramer Hickok, stock up, stock down. I mean, give me his ceiling.
I think stock up. You watch him play, and it's like exactly like Kisner. So I think, you know, there is, and you've seen the success Kisner's had. I think he can do it. He played this season, was his first year on tour. Made exactly half his cuts, 13 of 26, finished 161st in the FedEx Cup. And honestly, like, that's fine. Like, for a first season, I mean, it's not horrible. And so I think brighter days will be ahead. I could see him keeping his card this year.
Okay, we're going to knock out the last three and then get on to the real. Well, we're going to bump the second. We're going to bump Hovland and
you just want to breeze through Hubbard, Gomez, and Brehm to get to Hovland.
Yeah, and we're going to do it back. And we're going to bump it to part two, and it's just going to be the Victor Hovland podcast. Mark Hubbard, Fabian Gomez, formerly of the former winner of my adopted tournament,
the FedEx St. Jude?
Yeah, the St. Jude. It's my favorite tournament.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best tournament.
I'm surprised you even want to bring it up.
Huh?
I'm surprised you even wanted to bring it up.
I had some friends at church the other day be like, hey, you planning on going to Memphis next year? It's like, okay, thanks.
Do you have to like pull the shades closed and like
if people are listening to this, if to me and you chatter about like the Korn Ferry Tour, they probably understand like the reference, but if not, just go Google it. Kyle Porter, Memphis, whatever. Mark Hubbard, Fabian Gomez, Ryan Brehm. What stands out there?
Probably Mark Hubbard for the Homeless Hubs Twitter handle. went to San Jose State. I don't know. Just a guy who played at a lower level, just keeps grinding it out. He did okay on tour. I think he kept his card once in his two seasons, and just kind of nothing flashy, but, you know, could keep his card, might not. I don't know.
60-40. The thing about the Ferguson
I like it.
So, like, okay, so 60% of these guys are back on the Korn Ferry Tour next year, right? But 40% of them, like, will make life-changing money. I mean, maybe not life-changing, but, like, really unbelievable money. And so, yes, it's true that 60%, like, fall back into the minor leagues, but 40%, it's like, they've earned the ability to like change their life.
Yeah.
So I just think that we're maybe underplaying like the earning your card thing. That's a huge deal.
Oh, totally. I mean, you could have a quote unquote bad season and make $700,000. And some of these guys that bounce back and forth, you know, people talk about how much, you know, the Korn Ferry Tour, like no one's making money except for the top 10 guys because you're paying so much in travel. And it's like, yeah, the half of what keeps them going is like that one season. If you just get to the PGA Tour like once every five seasons and, you know, bankroll some cash, like people forget that this is a job and it's nice to keep your card and all that stuff too. But you're also trying to make a living and like support your kids and pay a mortgage and all that stuff. So like just getting to the tour and having the chance to play for $5-6 million a week compared to like 600,000 is you're playing for 10 times the amount of money. Like imagine if like you walked into work and like, hey, next year we're going to pay you 10 times your salary right now, but then that year you don't do very well and like, actually now we're going to bump you back down, we're going to pay you $10,000 a year. Like, yeah, it's
crazy. It really is. It's wild. Okay, good stuff, Sean. We're going to bump the rest of this to a part two. And, yeah, everybody should go listen to it.